Please listen for the word of God. Our first reading today is from the book of Exodus, chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God thought, if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt prepared for battle. And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had required a solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, God will surely take notice of you, and then you must carry my bones with you from here. They set out from Succoth and camped at Ethan on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. The second reading today is from John chapter 6, verses 22 through 35. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the lake saw that there had been only one boat there. They also saw that Jesus had not got into the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your holy scripture, and in particular the words that were read this morning. As we reflect upon them, we ask the guidance of your Spirit so that these words might become living words for us. Amen. During the month of August, I have been preaching on some of the great hymns of our faith. And someone asked me how I decided on which hymns to preach on. And I said that I chose them, some of them because of their overall popularity. And some I chose because I knew that there were certain people that liked them. And I chose one hymn for me, and because it is one of my favorites. And that one is the hymn that is our focus today, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. This was the hymn that I chose for my ordination service many, many, many years ago. And with good reason. When I began my ministry, I was fresh out of seminary, green behind the ears, uncertain about what I was getting into, unsure if I could do it. And I was about to begin a whole new phase of my life, not just a whole new phase, but really a new lifelong journey. And I had no idea where I was headed. In fact, I would say I was flat out scared. But then the words of this hymn became my prayer. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. And that's what I was, a pilgrim. And I was entering a land that I didn't know and wasn't so sure about and wondered what was there. I felt almost weak in the knees, but then the words of the hymn came to me again. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. And again, I was strengthened for that moment and in a way for all my ministry. And it is small wonder that this hymn should speak to me this way. This hymn was written in 1762 by a Welsh preacher with the absolutely gorgeous name of William Williams, a man who spent his life roaming the countryside of his native Wales, a pilgrim in a spiritually barren land. However, the story of this hymn goes back even further, as these things often do. William Williams was planning to become a doctor, and he was set to begin his studies for that profession when he heard a sermon preached by another Welshman, Harold Harris. I'm not Welsh, but they have a thing for alliteration, don't they? Harris was part of the Methodist movement of the 18th century. His calling as a roaming preacher caused him to travel about the country of Wales, sharing the gospel in fiery sermons on the stump, as they say. On this particular day, Howell was in his best form, and his message was so powerful, at least to the ears of William Williams, that Williams changed his life plans at that moment and set off to become a preacher rather than a doctor. He first tried to become an Anglican priest, but soon discovered that his heart was with Harris and his traveling preaching ministry. And so he left his formal training and began his apprenticeship with Harris. Harris, along with Williams and others, traveled throughout the land of Wales, preaching and singing and leading revivals. Harris soon discovered that there were not many hymns written in the Welsh language, so he set up a hymn writing contest to encourage more Welsh hymns to be written. Many men and many women submitted hymns to the contest, but Harris determined that there was easily one hymn that was better than all the others, and that hymn was written by William Williams. Williams was encouraged by this success, and so he set out to write as many hymns as he could in the Welsh language. He is now known as the father of Welsh hymnody. It is said that his hymns were so popular in Wales that there was a great surge in people wanting to learn to read just so they could read the words of Williams' hymns. All of Williams' hymns were written in the Welsh language, and while several have been translated into English, only one, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, has regularly found its way into modern-day hymnals. And I don't know about those other hymns that he wrote, but this one is certainly worth being in any hymnal. The hymn, which is number 65 in the hymnal, if you want to look at the words, is both a prayer and a prayer hymn and a pilgrimage hymn. Williams fills the hymn with biblical imagery. His words evoke memories of the Israelites wandering in the barren wilderness, being led by a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night, as described in the chapter from Exodus that Jen read this morning. Williams also alludes to the manna from heaven that God provided those wandering Israelites so that they would have food in the desert. That same bread imagery recalls Jesus' words in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, where he declares himself to be the true bread of heaven. Other biblical images that are conjured by these words include Elijah's sudden fleeing in the wilderness after his successful encounter with the prophets of Baal. That is a story that is found in 1 Kings. Elijah, beset with a sudden sense of weakness, is strengthened by the mighty hand of God. Williams even moves us into the book of Revelation when he mentions a crystal fountain, which in Revelation is part of John's vision of heaven, and it is from this fountain that the healing waters of life flow. This hymn is an allegory for the Christian journey through life, requiring God's guidance and ending at the gates of heaven, as alluded to in verse 3. And through it, there is a constant reassurance of the providence of God, to whom praises will always be sung. Interestingly enough, the tune to which we sing this hymn in English, CWM Rhondda, is not the tune in the Welsh version. CWM Rhondda was written in 1905 by John Hughes, more than a century after Williams wrote the hymn. Hughes wrote this for an organ dedication at a church in the Rhondda Valley in Wales, hence the tune name. The initial CWM was added to the tune, name to distinguish it from another tune that was given the same name. This tune, CWM Rhondda, was soon joined to Williams' hymn, and the two have been together ever since. I will also note here that this is the tune for another great hymn, Harry Emerson Fosdick's God of Grace and God of Glory. It's also interesting is the use of the word Jehovah for the name of God. Jehovah is a Germanized rendition of the Hebrew name for God from the Old Testament, Yahweh. In many modern hymnals, the word Jehovah is replaced with the word Redeemer, which gives the hymn a more Christ-centered focus, leaning into the bread of heaven language of the first verse and of John 6. As one looks through the words of this hymn, one can almost hear the autobiographical nature of the hymn. William spent his life as an itinerant preacher, easily traveling 2,500 miles a year, mostly on foot. The words of this hymn may have been drawn from the prayers he prayed each morning as he set off on the road to his next destination. The way was hard and the work was often difficult. He would be rejected as often as he was welcomed. While crowds often cheered him, there were times when the mobs beat him. And once he almost died from the blows he received. No wonder he saw himself as a lonely pilgrim traversing a barren land. But I think this hymn was about more than his trials as an itinerant preacher. It really is a lifelong prayer. It is a prayer for his journey through life, a journey that was full of ups and downs, challenges and opportunities. And so it is a hymn for any traveler through life. It is a prayer for any person going through tough times, a person who is weak and needs to be strengthened, a person who is broken and needs to be healed, a person who is spiritually hungry and needs to be fed. And who hasn't felt like that at one time or another? Have you ever felt confused and wondering where to turn? Have you ever felt the need for someone to point you in the right direction, to give you a helping hand, to encourage you on your way? Have you ever felt the need to get closer to God and didn't know how to do it? If this is you, then this hymn is your hymn, your prayer. This hymn admits that I am weak, but then counters, but thou art mighty. It recognizes that the time will come when we will tread the verge of Jordan, and reminds us that we can ask God to bid our anxious fears subside. It asks God to hold me in thy powerful hand, and it requests God to feed me till I want no more. Then the prayer ends like so many of the Psalms with the words, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I don't know what prayers you say when you are going through tough times. I don't know what words come to mind when you feel that you have lost your way, but you could do a lot worse than to pray or sing the words of this hymn. I know that I have, and I still do. Amen.